You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Ruth 4 verse 14. Hallelujah. We're in a series at the moment speaking about friendships, and we looked at last week the importance of friendships. Now in the Bible today we're going to talk about a lady called Naomi. And so it's always nice when you can go into the Bible and speak about someone who's got like a kind of semi, what we would say, normal name. How many's ever met a Naomi? Well, you know a Naomi, or maybe you're a Naomi. Amen. And so, you know, better than Ichabod or Ochabed or whatever, some of these other names that are a little bit more difficult to pronounce. But in the scriptures, we're going to see about this woman, and her name's Naomi. Now, when we look in the Bible many times, we're looking at people and we think, the big problem with reading the Bible is we feel distant from those people. We feel like those are Bible people and we are now. Those are Bible people and we're different. And so we read the Bible and, yeah, Bible people would do that. But what about what God says now? But I want to read, talk about this woman, Naomi's life, because I believe there's a lot here that we can learn from. One is, who was she? She's from Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so she's from Bethlehem, so she's one of God's people. She was married, and she was a mother. And so those of you that are married here, any married women here, amen. So here is, and you're a mother, amen. And so this woman is, she's married, and she has a husband, and she has children. But some of you may be, well, that doesn't, you know, encapsulate exactly my conditions. That's who she was, but where was she? She was in a place called Moab. Now, those of you that are Bible students, you know Moab. When you hear Moab, you're like, yeah, that place is, you know, Moab is a dodgy place when it comes to Bible, because the Moabites, they are the descendants of a woman who slept with her father. How many know that's bad news? If you didn't know, now you know, because you're looking at me like you wasn't sure. That's bad news. And so you can read about this in Genesis. Lot, his daughter gets him drunk. She sleeps with him. And so she has a child, and that's the Moabites. So these people are unclean. So she's in a bad place. When we read the Bible, she's in a bad place. Not only is she in a bad place, but her husband is now dead. So she was married, but her husband is dead. And so now she is without a man. So she had a man, but now she's without a man. And so there could be women here. You had a man, but now you're without a man. We don't need your hands put up, amen. We don't need any hands up. And so, or tragically, you've experienced a loss. Maybe you're a widow. Our hearts go out to you. Or maybe divorce. But whatever it is, here is this woman. She had a man. She's without a man. But the tragedy doesn't stop there. What actually goes on is that her husband dies in Moab, and then her two sons die. They get married, but then they die. And so here is this woman in Bible times. She has no husband now. She's in a foreign land. She's in a cursed land, and her sons are dead. I can only imagine the pain it is to bury a child. That's not what any parent wants. Here is this woman in this condition. Maybe there's some people here, you've lost a child, and you know the pain of that. Maybe you haven't lost the child to death, but maybe a relationship with a child is not where it should be. Maybe your child is somewhere that you don't even know where they are, doing things that you don't even know what they're doing. This is where this woman is. And how, the question is, how did this woman get there? Well, this is where many women of 2018 can connect with this woman, is that her husband led her there. Her husband led her to Moab. Here is this woman who is following a man, and then her life gets in trouble. There are many women in 2018 who followed a man and now their life is in trouble. One of the curses on our society today is poor male leadership. It's one thing for you to come and say, yeah, I'm the man. That's all right. You can call yourself the man. But what we want to see is, can you lead? Are you going to lead me in the right place? You're talking about you're the man and I need to respect you. And you're talking about, yeah, you better respect. Listen, bro, if you lead in a respectful manner, many times people will respect you. The Bible says that in Ruth 1 verse 20, that's not our text, but it says this. I want to read it. I didn't want to paraphrase it. She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. You know what this means? She says, change my name. My name is no longer Naomi. Now, Naomi means pleasure or pleased. Mara means, not Myra, by the way. Amen. Myra is a woman of God. Amen. But she says, change my name to bitter. She changes her name. Her name was meaning something pleasant. Her name meant pleasant. And now, because of all these things that I've said that she's gone through, now she's actually saying, change my name to bitter. Could there be women today that, because of the circumstances you've been through and because of some of the things in life that you're going through, that your heart can start to become bitter? I've met many a woman that didn't start that way, but you talk to them. Listen, I don't need no man. All men are dogs. I've said it many times. I ain't no dog. Maybe all the men, anyway. But that's the reality. When you've been in contact with things and you've been hurt and hurt and hurt, remember what she's gone through. Sometimes we judge people. We say, why are they like that? Sometimes you don't know what they've gone through to make them like that. This is the woman we're going to speak about. Let's leap into the text. I wanted to give you that background so that you'd know where we are. Ruth 4 verse 14. Look what it says here. Then the woman said to Naomi, that's the woman we're speaking about, blessed be the Lord. Things have turned around for her now. Who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you as the restorer of life and the nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons has bore him. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now to bless every mother in this place. Father, we pray that you would strengthen every woman in this place. Father, we just ask you that you would visit us, speak to us. Father, we come against pride and bitterness and the pain of life, and I pray that you would heal hearts. Most of all, we pray that your son Jesus would be magnified, and all God's people said, amen. I just give you a bleak picture of this woman's life in the beginning of the book of Ruth. But then when we read the end of the book of Ruth, which Ruth only has four chapters in it, you could read this book in literally 10, 20 minutes. At the end of the life story, we see that people are saying, bless the Lord for her. You know what makes Ruth, Naomi's life such a great story? Is that here is this woman who goes through all of these difficulties, but at the end of her life, it turns around. At the end of her life, people are saying, listen, let's bless God for you. Look, God has moved in your life. And all of this comes out. A woman that's in a dark place, becoming more and more bitter, God is able to do a U-turn in your life. There's every woman here. I want to tell you, every single woman, every single person, every single mother, doesn't matter where you are right now, God can do a U-turn in your life. You may be in a difficult position right now. You may be alone right now. You may have followed someone. Someone told you, I love you. And you followed them and you've ended up in this bleak position with all the kids, doing your best, struggling financially. But her life turns around. She's at the end of the book of Ruth. Naomi is back in Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem, like I said, the house of bread. She's back in a place of fruitfulness. Not only is she back in a place of fruitfulness, she's now around her family. She was in a bleak place, in a perverted place in Moab. She was led there, and now she's back around her family, and they're around her singing her praises and saying, listen, praise God for what he's doing in your life. And those of you that know your Bible well know that Ruth has a child. That child is now seen as Naomi's grandchild. And that grandchild is the grandfather of King David. And that means that now the lineage of Christ, who Jesus, the deliverer, the savior, comes out of the family tree of this woman, Naomi. That means when you're in a dark place and you think, my life is over, nothing can work for me, everything has gone wrong for me, God is able to take that darkness, to take that failure, to take all of that madness, and you go through this, and now you're birthing the most powerful things coming out of your life. Your best days are ahead of you. Look at someone and say, your best days are ahead of you. That's what hope means. Your best days are ahead of you. I want to tell you, listen, not our best days are ahead of us, church. I'm believing God. There is always hope. This woman's life turns around. The question is this. Some of you are thinking, how did her life turn around then, Pastor? Because I want my life to turn around. And the reason her life turns around is that here is this woman, she's one of God's people, she's from Bethlehem, her husband takes her into Moab. Moab is a perverted land. Husband goes in there, two kids go in there, two sons, the sons get married, the husband dies, the sons die, now she's in Moab, and so she has two daughter-in-laws. Naomi has two daughter-in-laws. One of them goes back and says, listen, okay, I'm going to stay in Moab. She kind of talks the talk. Hey, I'm going to be with you. But Naomi says, I need to go back to my land. And so one of them stays in Moab because that's where they're from, Moab. But one of them is called Ruth. And this is why the book is called Ruth. Because really, the book is about this woman. And Ruth actually connects her life to Naomi and becomes Naomi's friend. And the whole reason that this woman's life changes, I've painted the picture of darkness, and the whole thing that clicks and turns this woman's life around was her friendship with Ruth. The word Ruth, when you read it, it personifies friendship. That here is this woman in a dark place, here is this woman in a hopeless place, and her life turns around and is all connected with friendship to this woman. I want to say to you today is your friends are going to dictate your destiny. Many people, they don't, You ever heard of, you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas, so you know it. Some of you, I know it, Pastor, man. I've experienced it. It's so many times, I remember hearing this in school and hearing this as a young person, and the teachers and my parents and older people would tell me, listen, if you hang with those people, if you go, and I never really listened to it, but now, 44 years old, nearly 45, I realize that this is exactly what it is. The friends that you have around you are going to either set your limits or lift you higher. It's the friends you have around you. The people that you choose to have around you are either going to limit you. They're going to limit you. You want to go places. You have aspirations. You have ability and talent. And you have zeal and vision. But the problem is you're not going nowhere because of the friends that you are around. Sometimes you got to shake off people. And some pastor comes to church. Listen, I love everybody. I don't need you to look good. I don't need you to have money. I don't need you to be black, white, purple. I don't need you to be anything, but I need you to want to go somewhere. This woman makes a relationship, builds a friendship with Ruth, and because of this one friendship, she enters into destiny. Imagine that now, that you're going to build a friendship with somebody, and that friendship is going to help you get to your destiny. because of a friendship with the right person. But you know what's unique about this is that this is a very strange friendship. This is not a natural friendship. And what I mean by that is if you were to look at this on paper, you probably wouldn't think this is going to be like, you know, a natural friendship. One is the age. There's difference in age. And so many times, as you get older, obviously your friends go with you, but Naomi is an older woman, but she's still able to build a friendship with a younger woman. Ruth is a younger woman. She's able to build a friendship with an older woman. So many times what we live in life is that when you was in school and you was younger, you could make friends. How many know we had 100 friends? How many know everyone was your friend in school? And what would people tell you when you grow up? Listen, as you get older, you lose your friends. How many ever heard that? Some of you are feeling it already. That's the reality. But the downside is sometimes the older people get, they stop making new friends. They stop making new friends. They get older and older and older. And can I tell you, as someone who's the age I am now, I'm seeing that friends fall off. Because sometimes friends move. Sometimes life changes. Sometimes the older you get, people die. You go to more funerals. When I was a kid, I never went to funerals. The older you get, you're going to funerals. If you're not careful and you're not having the ability to make new friends, you know what happens? You end up old and alone. That's why you're trying to talk to strangers at the bus stop. Because I need to talk to somebody. I was thinking about this. If you would have seen these women, you would have been like, this looks strange. This looks strange, these young women. I remember years and years ago, when we were pioneering, we were just trying to build the church up. I remember I met Kenny. Many of you know the story. Kenny sitting down here at the front, amen. And I remember meeting him, and I was talking to him, and he gave me his number, and I said, do you want to come to church? He's a young guy, he's about 18. And he said, yeah, he wants to come to church. You got to remember now, there's only 8 people in the church. So I'm like happy for anybody. I didn't know if he was in his right mind, in his wrong mind. And then, he's a body, he'd come. Listen, I'm just trying to get people. And so he wouldn't come for a long while, but he's here now, amen. But it took a lot of calling, hey, you come. He would tell me, I'm coming. And then I'd be like, all excited, Sunday's coming. And then he wouldn't turn up. And so one time he called me up and he's like, oh, I'm in Junction. And I said, okay, let me grab him. So I parked my car in Asda's. I ran over. He was in Debenhams or whatever it's called across the road, Arden Hobbs. And so I met him in there and he had all these shopping bags. And so I'm trying to talk to him about God. I said, bro, you got to take your soul serious. Can't you see these are the last times? I'm trying to give him everything right now. I got to get him, man. And so I said, do you want me to hold your bags for you? I'll hold your bags. So I'm holding his bags. And so if you know Kenny knows so many people. He knows everybody. He just knows everybody. And so as I'm talking to him, every minute he's like, yeah, what's and so someone comes up to him and goes, yeah, what's going on? And they're talking to him. And every time they're talking to him, they're looking at me like, why are you? So it's just like me and him are hanging out. And people look, and this looks strange. And I felt embarrassed. So I was like, listen, I can feel embarrassed all I want. When you go, I'm going to start witnessing him some more. That's how it would have looked. You would have seen Naomi, and you see Ruth. You see these two friends together, and it would have looked off key. But Naomi's like, let's say, listen, I need to make friends. I ain't got nobody around me. I need to make some friends. Can I tell you, some of the friends that I'm making are younger than me. Some of the pastors that go out and I speak to them on a weekly basis, they are 10 years younger than me. Yes, I've got friends my age. Yes, I've got friends older than me, but I'm making new friends. Do you have that ability to make new friends? Because that could be the very opportunity that you needed to enter into the destiny. Can I tell you, if you want to go to new places, sometimes you got to meet new people. If you want a new outcome, sometimes you got to move into a new environment. You're in the same little place. Listen, before I got saved, I was hanging with the same people. Me and my wife, we drove past. I was in Kennington. We had to go around somewhere. And I said, you see that house there? I used to sit in that house all day and smoke drugs. All day. Like literally like a 9-to-5 job. I'd get there about 9 in the morning. Guy would get up and start billing. Hey, just smoke drugs, play dominoes, play blackjack. And then just sit there all day. And it's 5 o'clock. Oh, I'm going home now. All day. One time my mom hooked up a job interview for me. She went out. She bought me trousers and a shirt and a size. I was about 18, 19 or something like that. And I was going to the interview, and lo and behold, on the way to Vauxhall Station, I walked past the guy's house, and I was like, oh, let me just get in there for a quick. And I went in there, and I stayed in there all day. Then I came back home, and my wife had, sorry, not my wife, my mom said, my wife, it wasn't like I did it last week, honestly. And so my wife said, I said it again, my mom, honestly, it was my mom. My mom said to me, how did the interview go? And I was like, oh, they didn't give me the job. I didn't even go for the interview. So we went, oh. You see, the reality is sometimes you got to make a new circle, new friends. The other reason why this would have been a strange relationship is that race, they're a different race. She's from Moab, she's a Jew. This can sometimes be a touchy subject. That are we able to make friends with anybody? Is it like all the Nigerians are over here? We like jollof. All the West Indians are over here, we like rice and peas. And then the rest of us do whatever we want to do. You know, you've got to be willing to not judge a book by its cover. Not judge a book by its cover. You know what the essence of racism is? Not that people think, oh, I'm not racist because, you know, I let so-and-so around me or whatever. No. That's tolerance. That just means tolerance. Doesn't mean that you're not racist because you're tolerant. You could be tolerant because you don't want to embarrass yourself. There are many people I heard an article the other day about this woman. She's like some big businesswoman. I don't know her name. I was listening to it on the radio. She's like a big businesswoman. They've given her awards in Britain, and she is a down and out blatant racist. She said something. Some of you saw it on the news. It was recent. She said on the news, racist comments. Like, this is 2018. You know why? Because people thought, oh, no, she's not. She can't be racist. No, she's tolerant. But we're not just tolerant. What we are, we embrace all cultures. We don't just tolerate cultures, we embrace it. What we say is that if you're West Indian, you'll be like, listen, I can embrace African culture. There's things in the food. No, I don't yam that food, Rav. I don't yam that food. Now listen, don't say, Pastor, you're a hypocrite, because my wife, your wife has told us there's certain things you don't eat. No, there's certain things, I just don't like it. It's not where it's from, I don't like it. You know, when I was getting married, I told my dad is from Jamaica. Many of you know that. My mom is from Ireland. And so when I told my dad I was getting married, first thing my dad said, where's she from? Son, where's she from? I said, she's Nigerian. Now, I don't know what my dad thought. I think he thought she was going to come in. Listen, even if she did, so what? And so then my wife, So my dad was starting to say, I said, listen, man, anyway, let's not go there. But he loves her now. He loves her more than he loves me. He loves her. Everywhere he goes, like when we go to Florida, he's holding her hand. Come on, daughter. He loves her. He's like looking at me, like, who are you? He loves her, man. My wife's family, where's he from? When we was engaged. Now, they didn't even hear the Irish. They went straight to the Jamaican. So she said he's Jamaican and he's Irish. They didn't even hear the Irish. The Irish was blanked out. All they heard is Jamo. That was it. That was just it. Sometimes we can have these, we understand we can joke about these things, but can I tell you today, sometimes the person that is going to elevate you, the person that is going to bring you into destiny, the person that is going to help you to get to the next level and build new friendships and open new doors is not going to come in the flavor that you usually pick. In this church, we want all. We want all. We love all culture. You know, they, not just age and race, they're not from the same background. They're from different backgrounds. And sometimes this is a big thing. Some people can't make friends with people from different backgrounds. You know, sometimes people can be too stoosh. I don't know if you guys have that still lasted, that word.
In my generation, that was a word. And basically, I don't know what word to even translate it to now. Like, that was the Greek and the Hebrew. I don't know what words to translate it to. But basically, like you're too nice for certain people. And so sometimes people, they're locked into a background where if you're, you know, you could be like, you come from a certain background and you talk a certain way and you grew up around certain people. So that's the way that you live your life. Obviously, you can tell by the way I talk that I come from a very privileged background. You get me? Blood. So, okay, let's just say I grew up in South London my whole life, council estate, single-parent family. I didn't go to school. I am maybe the lower end of the statistic. And so this is the way I talk. This is the way I act. This is me. Now, I'm not saying that I'm ghetto or I'm road. I'm just saying this is how I am. This is how I talk. Now, sometimes some people are like, oh, well, if you talk like that and you act like that, you can only move with your type of people. No. Don't put me in that box. Don't put me in that box. I've worked with architects. I've worked with people that are highly educated. I've trained people that have gone through schooling, college, degree, come into the vocation that I had as a designer and trained them and sat down with them and gone out to meals with them and conversate with them and share the gospel with them. And some of them are still very good friends with me that I've worked with, because I can have friends with anybody. It's not just one side. The same is if you're, maybe you've come from a more privileged background. Maybe you have gone through the system in a more smoother transition, school and uni and college, and now you come back, hello, hi, mwah, mwah, lovely, great, yeah, we was in Chelsea the other day, and Penelope and Charles were just, they said it was an exquisite time. Okay, if you talk like that, you don't have to try and okay, blood. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be like, that's, yeah, Elias. You don't have to do none of those. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. If you're road, that's be yourself. If you're this, be yourself. One time someone told me, oh, I got to leave the church. I said, why are you going to leave the church? Because these people are not on my level. Don't let the door hit you. Keep going. That's right. These people are not on your level, because these people are here. Here is a woman that is able, no matter what the age, no matter what the race, no matter what background you're from, she says, listen, I can make friends with her. Now, let me give you the last thing within this little, why these relationships are strange. And listen, I have to kind of prepare this. How many mother-in-laws we have in the house? Mother-in-laws. Amen. And so, praise God. We love the mother-in-law. So, whatever I say next, know that I love you. Amen. If you've got a mother-in-law, put your hand up. Let me see you. You've got a mother-in-law. Amen. Hope you blessed her. Hope you blessed her today. Text her, called her. There's still time. Take her Nando's. Amen. You know, sometimes that mother-in-law relationship can be a very unique type of relationship. I was reading some articles the other day. The guy said the difference between an accident and a tragedy is, say you're at a party somewhere and somebody pushes, knocks into your mother-in-law, she falls into the swimming pool. He said, that is an accident. He said, if she can swim and get out, that's a tragedy. And that's what I said. I said, listen, it's a joke. I don't know who's waiting for me down the bottom there. It's a joke. Okay, one more. There's a guy, him and his family, they went away. And the wife said, we've got to take our mother-in-law. And he said, I want to go to Israel. And he says, let's take the mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law goes with him to Israel. And so, tragically, the mother-in-law dies in Israel. Oh, sad. So the mother-in-law is dead. And so he's got to take the body over to back home to America or wherever he's taken. And so when he gets to the customs place, they say it's going to cost you $5,000 to take your mother-in-law's body back. And so they say, but it will cost you $150 to bury her here. And so the guy says, no, I'll pay the $5,000. And the guy goes, "Bye, you must really love your mother-in-law." He said, "Uh-uh." He says, "Years ago, I can't take the chance. Somebody was buried here 2,000 years ago, and they rose again. I can't take the chance. I'll pay the $5,000. What am I saying is many times, this relationship can be a strained relationship. You know, I love you guys. Love you, mother-in-laws. This relationship can be a strained relationship. And so what that means is, even this type of relationship, they were able to go over the boundaries and say, no, we're going to build a relationship. See, their relationship wasn't built on age, wasn't built on race, wasn't built on background. Went across whether mother-in-law or any law or that thing, wasn't to do with that. But their relationship was built on something deeper. See, Ruth wasn't a trophy friend. What I mean by that is when Naomi goes back into Jerusalem, she's bringing a Moabite with her. That's not a trophy friend. They would have been like, "Why are you bringing that nasty Moabite in the house?" That's how they would have. What's this woman coming here for? Remember, the Jews hate the Moabites. They see them as unclean. This is not a trophy friend. You know, trophy friends, these are the people that people want to take photos with. They look good. They're really, you know, how many know we got some friends that are really photogenic? And when you, so your Instagram, you want them in there. How many know we got some other friends that are less? That's the nicest way I can say it. Less photogenic. That's a good word, way to describe certain people. They're just say that. They're just less photogenic. And so sometimes what people do in their own insecurity is they gravitate to the people that they think promote them. Yeah. See someone come in, they got the Gucci belt, Louis Vuitton loafers. I want to be their friend. You see someone else come in with the luxury, latest fashion and Primani. You're like, no. I don't want that. What about when you see people that they're not trendy or they're not clever, they're not rich? So many times people are making carnal associations. Carnal associations. I remember one time, I've said it before, people come to church and, you know, we had a kind of homeless guy coming to church. And you know what? There were some people around him. And I really realized those that were really solid in Christ, because they were flocking around this guy. How do we help you? How do we get you back on your feet? How do we, just a homeless guy. And so they're coming around him. But you realize there was a lot of people that weren't coming around him. They didn't even notice him. Didn't even recognize him. Then we had someone, we had like a footballer come in. Everyone still see, "Oh, there's a footballer here." Can I tell you, don't look for trophy friends. You know, there are some people that are very lonely, and they'll come to a church like this and they'll be like, "Oh, I've got no friends here. No one's my friend." And I get angry. I'll be like, "What? Ugh, this church, man, what's happening here?" And then I start to go into a little bit of investigation. "Hey, how come? Pastor, we tried to call so-and-so, you know. Hey, why? Hey, Pastor, we invited so-and-so." I'm like, "What's happening here? How come this person says, you know, I've got no friends?" You know what we found out? Is that they want certain people to be their friends. They want trophy friends. You see sister come in with this super weird, "I want that to be my friend. She's got the eyelashes, no problem. Listen, you can deal with that. We're not against that. Do all of those things." But the reality is sometimes people are looking, Ruth wouldn't have been a trophy friend. But this is what the Bible says about Ruth. But Ruth said in Ruth 1 verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave you." Ruth is begging Naomi, "Don't make me go back. I want to stick with you. I want to help you." He says, "I'm going to follow after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you be buried, And he says, that's where I want to be. And then he goes on. Look what he says there. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me and you. Can I tell you that's the type of friendship I want? Someone that is committed to me as much as that. Someone that says, Courtney, where you go, I go. I got your back. Someone that says, listen, you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. I've got your back. See, what we need to build our friendships on is loyalty. Whether you are up or you are down. When you win, we both win. When you lose, we both lose. But I've got your back. I'm not just a fair weather friend. I'm not just with you for the good times, and I'm not with you in the bad times. She says, listen, I'm loyal to you. We need to build our friendships on people that are loyal to us and loyal to God. This is why I said, I don't care what age you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what background you're from. I don't care who you're related to. If you're loyal to God and you're loyal to me, then listen, me and you can build a good friendship. We can build a good friendship. Too many times because of this and because of that, destiny friend, that's what we want. I want a destiny friendship. I don't just want someone that looks good. I want someone that's good for me. You know, God will bring your way some friendships. I'm going to close with this, but I want to say this. Sometimes God is going to bring people your way that are going to build a good friendship with you, and they're not what you would have picked. They're not what you would have picked. You would have picked somebody else. And maybe that's why some of you are missing the friends that God has placed for you. Because you're like, God, I'm alone. I need a friend. I need destiny. I want what Pastor said. I want that. And God's like, okay, let me bring that. And you're like, listen, I'm not feeling that person. I don't hang with those type of people. They don't dress like me. They don't talk like me. They don't act. No. God's like, no, this is the friend you needed. You know, God gives us what we need, not just what we want. Because God loves us. How many know, if you're a parent here, every mother here will know what I'm talking about. You never give your kids just what they want. You give your kids what they need. Your kids would sit down and eat Haribos all day. Make themselves sick. Your kids, I don't want to go to school. Your kids, so a good parent gives their kids what they need and what they want when it fits into the first one. God is the same. God is exactly the same. Let me close with this. This story is about redemption. That's what this story is about. The redeeming of this woman's life. Everything in Naomi's life was lost and looked hopeless. And at the end, everything comes back. And the way that this, you got to read this. I wish I had the time to go for everything in the book, but we just don't have it here. But basically what happens is when Naomi follows Ruth, Ruth and Naomi go back into Bethlehem, Ruth, the daughter-in-law, who was married to Naomi's son but died, meets a guy called Boaz. And Boaz is a distant relative of Naomi. Now, in Jewish times, there's a word for this. It called him a kinsman redeemer. Because in the Jewish law, this distant relative had the right to take on the responsibilities of his distant relative, and what they called it, he's redeeming them. Because she's a widow and she's going to lose her inheritance and there's no other men to protect her. He says, you know what? Boaz says, listen, I'm going to take you guys on board. And Ruth marries him and she has a child by him, and that's the child that we see. And the Bible says that the people look at Naomi and says, look at how your life has turned around, Naomi, because of this redeemer. Today, I want to tell you, whether you're a man, a woman, young or old, you've lost some things. You can look at your life and say, listen, Pastor, I'm losing some things. I'm losing my righteousness, my relationship with God. My life is not the way it should be. Can I tell you today, there is a kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus Christ. People ask the question to me all the time, why did God become a man? Why did the Son of God put on flesh? So that he could be our relative. So that he could be our kinsman redeemer. so that he could die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he was redeeming what you've lost. He was bringing back what you've lost. Wherever you are, whatever you're involved in, can I tell you today, there is a kinsman redeemer, and his name is Jesus. Ultimately, you know what is lost in every man? Their soul is lost. Because you can live 10, 20, 50, 100 years, but one day you're going to inhale and exhale, and it's going to end. That will be your last breath. And then you enter into eternity, the Bible says. And if you've lived your life denying God, without God, then you enter into a place of torment, the Bible says, that we are lost. Where is the hope in this, Pastor? Listen, money can't buy your way out of it. Your living relatives can't go to the priest after you've died and say, let's pray for him that he would rest in peace. No, people do not rest in peace because a priest waves something over your dead carcass. People rest in peace because they put their hope in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and said, listen, I need him to redeem me because I'm lost. He's excited. I am excited when it comes to the Redeemer. You know, the beauty of the story is that Naomi was connected to the Redeemer through Ruth. Naomi lost everything, but she was brought to the Redeemer for a friendship. Do you know many times it's through a friendship that's going to help you get through the dark times in your Christianity? I pray to God that when you fall, there'll be someone with you to pick you up. The Bible says, when one falls, they fall, they can't get up. When two are together, when one falls, the other one picks them up. And we listen, no one's perfect in this place. No one's perfect in this place. Me, you, if we say, put up your hand if you're not perfect. But when I fall, I want to make sure that I've got people around me that can help me up. I don't just want friends that are good to me. I want friends that are good for me. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.